Praise God. Today, my message will be headed, Christ the door. Christ the door. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, for this morning. I want to thank you, Father, that, Lord, whatever I do, Lord, whatever I speak will come from you. And I pray, Father, your strength comes upon my body, but my body, Lord, will stand here, Lord, to speak your word. And I thank you, Father God, for every bones of mine, Lord, will fall into place in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, as I speak, Lord, every word that comes, Lord, will be yours, not from my flesh or from my mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll read from verse 7, but I will focus on verse 9. Verse 7, it says, Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Amen. See, many a times it is very easy to understand the way God speaks to us. Jesus spoke to us very simple and practical way of our lives. Today he uses a door, which is a common thing for all of us. Isn't it right? It's so common. The door sets himself is a God who is consentingly he called himself a God. He lowered himself to say, God, he says that now I'm a door. You know how good, gracious and how humble is our Lord Jesus Christ, and meek, I should say. See, the door is something that we always use it every day in our life. The door becomes so, when you come into this door, you automatically in your own hands, you take out in your hands and just pull out, and you don't care about the door. You just pull it out and it's just come enter into this place. And wherever you go to your house, the door is there, you just use a key and open it and you just enter. You go to your bedroom, you have a door, you just open it and go up. It's so simple every day in our life. Jesus used that simple door as himself. If people are hearing today doctrines and doctrines and doctrines and said, what is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? There are a lot of people who go into apologetic and there are so many people who want to know more and more and more. But this is simple. He's so simple in our lives. The door. What do you think about a door? What do you say about a door? The door is a wooden door, could be a metal door, could be a grill door, anything, whatever it is. It's a door to an entrance to a place. Either you enter to your house, to the church, or to your office, anywhere else you want to enter, it's a door, is the most important thing which blocks you from entering into the place. It's something that stands before you as an obstacle to stop you from going into the place. This morning when I came in, I think they repaired the grills this morning, I find difficulty in opening the grill. The key was wrong. The key was adjusted. So I found it difficult this morning to open. So the hindrance to enter this morning into the church was the door. The grill door of iron gate. But Jesus says today that I am the door. And I like his passage here in verse 9 very well clearly. Let's read it again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. Let's segment it number one as a door. Door is a necessity in our life. A necessity because if there is no door, we can enter, anybody can enter into the house. Is that right? The door becomes a security, a place where people come and see and say, this is a place that I have to stop. And now this is not fault for me. I don't have the key to this place. So you are stopping that place and it becomes an entrance point. Door is a necessity. What if we don't have a door in our life? In our doors, in our bedroom, our toilets, in our door to entrance to your house. No privacy. Those who came to Israel with me, they know. There was a place the Romans used their business, you know. All the Jews used to do their business, all of them in a gallery like, sitting down in front of everybody else and stripping. I've got a picture upstairs of a book, if you see, I don't know whether I have it here in my house, of how the Jews were treated, how the women and children were treated. They were just stripped outside and they were staying naked outside there and they have to do business, everything. There was no privacy among themselves. Can you just imagine there is no privacy? There's nothing in your life. There is no door. There's no security in your house. You can have the walls built 6 feet, 7 feet, or 8 inches, whatever it is. But You cannot have the security because the door is open. But Jesus said, I am the door. But is he stopping us from coming? No. A door is a necessity. If Jesus was not the door for us, we cannot enter heaven. If Jesus was not the door for us, today, the life that we live, the tomb door, he had opened and came out. And that's the door he is. He opened the life door of life in the grave. That is why today we have this door, Jesus Christ. Before even dying, he said, I am the door. He says, I am the door. Without you knowing me, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Very precise, on the dot. When the day of Pentecost came, when the day of resurrection, the third day of death, he pushed out the entire tombstone and he came out. The door which held him from death and life could not withstand him. That's the kind of door we are looking at today. A door which cannot withstand any other doors. Any other doors will bow down to him. Amen. He says, I am the door. He is the door because there is wall around heaven. It's called, the wall is called holiness and righteousness. Heaven is covered with holiness and righteousness. And no man who's unrighteous, unholy, can enter the place unless one becomes holy. Unless one becomes holy and lead you through that. And Jesus says, I am the door. Because he was without sin. You sang just now the song. A one without a sin in his life. A one that who can be a leader. The one that could lead you to somewhere else. A shepherd he is. Amen. And God showed through him that through Jesus Christ, we can have that godly peace. We can enter into the godliness. We can enter into the peace of God. We can have the joy, the truth, salvation, purity, and also entering into the heavenlies. Amen. He is the door. There's another verse. He says that, I hold the keys. In Revelation, he says, I hold the keys to Hades. When he says Hades, Hades means it's a spiritual realm. There are two things people can convert the word Hades to. Hades can be translated as spiritual realm, or Hades can be also translated to the, hell. There are two words which they use in the time of Greek when they write that. This same Hades is used as two different expressions. Number one, if you say he is the key to the expression of all the spiritual realm, so Jesus is holding the key when we come into the place where the door that we enter through Jesus Christ into the spiritual realm. Today, without Jesus Christ, we cannot have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you with me? The door I'm talking about is a door which is exceptional. A door which is not a simple door that we are just opening up and going. But this spiritual realm he is talking about, he has the key to the spiritual realm. He also holds the keys to Hades. Hades is also translated as or referred as hell. He has taken away the keys from Hades, he says. That if you say taken away the Hades key, that means to say that no one can go into hell without him. No one can go to hell without passing through him. Amen. See, if anyone knows him, will not go to hell. And he also holds the key to spiritual realms. Today, many of us can see visions. We can see so many things, can prophesy, can do so many things, healing. All this comes from Jesus Christ and no one else. Because he holds the key to all the spiritual realm. If you do deliverance, if you are doing deliverance, this is the key. This is the door. He is the door for all this deliverance. Because in his name, demons will flee. In his name, people can be healed. Amen? Even if I'm preaching, I believe I'm being healed. Amen? So if he is the door that he is going to give that spiritual realm, that we can enter into the spiritual realm and can be healed. If the other day some of you came for this man who went to heaven and hell, and he spoke about, he came back and he was totally healed. When he rose from the dead, he was totally healed. So Jesus can rise from the dead, and because he's living, and we can be healed today. Amen? Because that's the door we are talking about. A door that goes into a place, leads us into a place of heavenlies. A door that leads us into spirituality, spiritual realms. He shows us the different spiritual realms. Paul was one of them. Paul saw the third heaven. He was able to see all that. If it is not for Christ, he will not be able to see all those things. It's a door. He is the one who opens. When you go to him, he opens the door. That is, he is the one. Through him, all things can be seen and all things can be performed. All things can be done in his name. Amen? And we have that joy and the peace. The other thing you talk about, he says, he didn't say, I'm one of the doors. He says, he is the door. He didn't say that doors. There was a singularity in his speech. When he said something, he said, meant it very well. In the Greek translation, you'll find it means one. You know, the Greek translation, sometimes you can see always, I find when I read, I don't know Greek, but when I read the way they say it, they can be also duplicate. In other words, double meaning towards certain things. But in this case, he meant singularity. There was singularity. There is only one door. I am the door. There cannot be many doors. It cannot be any other ways. I met a person recently, and he said, he can enter into the spiritual realm to know about you. He can also discern things. Right? And I met a person who called me yesterday from India and said, no, Pastor, you are like this. And I asked the Lord, Lord, is this from you or is it from the evil one? Sometimes the spiritual realm, which the devil also knows, Lucifer came from where? Where did he come from? Heaven. He dropped down from heaven. So he also knows the spiritual realms. He also understands the spiritual realms. Sometimes some of us, when we understand the spiritual realm, then we do not understand that the Jesus Christ is the only way to the spiritual, right spiritual realm. He will show you heaven and earth. He will show you everything entirely. But this evil one will show you false spirits. Amen? The evil one will show you false spirits. So this singular door we are talking about today, the door, he didn't say, I am one of the doors, I am the doors. But he says, I am the door. Amen. There is no other ways. You cannot go to this side and that side and say, still find heaven. No, no, no. Some of them argue with me and say, no, I can go to this way and I can still find God. I can still go another way. I can still find God, that one God you're talking about. There's no other way. I like the way when the other day in the pastor, when he concluded something in his talk the other day, he said that one of the doctors who was treating him, he asked him, did you see anybody with that cap, with the Haji cap up there in heaven? And he said, no, I did not see any one of them with the Haji cap. I only saw all of them know Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Till today, people claim that there, you can have the door this way and that way. And sometimes they create some kind of false imagination into our lives. There are many pastors, there are many people from different religion now put onto a lot of things on the YouTube. If you go to the YouTube now, there's one man who is prominent from India. He speaks about Islam and he talks very fervently, and they give false information that this man hurt this man and from Christianity he has become a Muslim. And so and so becomes so and so. Why? The door which this man was looking at was not the door of Jesus Christ, but the door of something that he was seeking. When you are in Jesus Christ, in the door, you will not seek any longer. Because you know that is the only door and no other doors. Amen? So you will not seek BOMOs, you will not seek any other people, because you know only one person. That's only one door. The singularity. There is no way of getting somewhere else and getting this person healed this way or that way. No. It's only one door, that through Jesus Christ. His singularity means very simple. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Is somebody there? Verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation only comes through him. Everything that comes, salvation does not come only as salvation. You are saved. Your saving grace which comes to us does not come only just to save you and leave you like that. It comes with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit is with you and me. And all the gifts of the Holy Spirit is this. So we should be able to see into the spiritual realm. We should be able to act in the spiritual realm. We should be able to walk in the spiritual realm every day. Because every Christian is given that gift. Sometimes we say, Lord, I don't have that wisdom. I don't have that spirituality that you are talking about. There is nobody who is here in this earth till today, I should say, who is greater than Jesus Christ. The highest of spirituality, the highest of holiness, the highest of anything you can say about a man of God. That's what Jesus Christ is. At this point of time, I would like to respect one man God used in this world. I want to respect a man of God who was in this world, who went to the Lord last Wednesday. His name is, how many of you heard about him? David. Right, praise God. David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson was a man of God whom I respect a lot. You can see a lot of things about him. Daily he gives messages on his page. This man was the man who turned around a lot of people in the world who have got drug problems and everything else. He's the man who initiated, the Lord spoke to him and initiated a call, Teen Challenge, whereby people are able to come out of their problems and they can be recognized in the society as a person. And today, Teen Challenge is all over the world. This is the man, David, Pastor David, Reverend Pastor David Wilkerson, has done for God. And through him, is true, because Christ inspired him. He came out from a large church and he started off a church too later on after his mission of doing work. And I pray that people like him can rise up today. Many of us can rise up. Not necessarily must be a pastor. Can be any one of you with a gift can rise up today and be somebody for God. Because that door, you know, that only one door. He knew only one door. This man, David, just like us, he knew only Jesus Christ. He will die for Jesus Christ. He will do anything for Jesus Christ. And nothing else he will do. You can tell him about medication. He does not believe in that. He says there is something that God will give. And God will give this man, and God gave this man a lot of heart, a big heart, that he can have a heart for many people in the world to be saved. Amen. So I pray a man like him will rise up, and I pray that his soul is now resting with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So singularity. So the salvation only comes from that. Salvation comes, not only salvation of saving grace, but the saving comes together with a package. Jesus does not give. Only when you go into his door, the package is given. Amen. We go through the door, the package is given. Can you just imagine somebody standing there, James, I was telling James, will hold hands, or Brother Ang, or any one of you standing there, shaking hands and coming inside. When you come inside, they give you a package, beautiful package, nicely, presents, nicely wrapped up in whatever color you like, it gives up to you. That's how it is like. Can I just imagine that I enter into the door, Jesus there, through him and I come inside, I get a total package that he has promised for me. Amen. The door is singular, but the package is so beautiful. It comes so many things in our lives. Amen? Praise God. I'm being healed. Amen. See, personality. You see the personality of the door. A door has got something. You've got different color, different shapes. Nowadays, the other day, I went to University Hospital once. I went to pray for somebody, and I think the demon was trying to play the fool with me. You know, there's the arch. Suddenly you'll see all the place was empty, you know, square, and suddenly you come to a small arch. I didn't realize the arch. I was walking like that. I had my head on the wall. Why? Because suddenly the shape of that building changed. I didn't follow the shape. So I come to that place, you have to dike like that and go off, okay? So I didn't have that kind of visibility that time. So I was still continuing praying for this man who was there on the floor, and I hit my head onto the wall, which suddenly became arch, a narrow part, which did the construction guys did not, or architect did not see that possibility of people getting in. But you see, the personality of Christ is, there is no accidents when you enter him. Amen. There will not be any accidents when you enter through him. Personality of Christ himself is the door. He says, I am the door. That's the personality of Christ. You know how meek he puts himself down and say, I am the door. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I can open the door, he can say. I can open the door for you. If you come in my name, the doors will be open. No, he says, he is the door. That's the personality of Christ. A door is a keeper of ourselves. A door is a keeper. A door that keeps us. And he talks, earlier passage, you'll see verse 7 and 8, you'll see that he talks about sheep, the sheep gate. You know, you talk about sheep. You know, the person who keeps the sheep, who guards the sheep, that's the personality of Jesus Christ. Today, many of times when you have problems, we go on to so many things outside. Or we ask for so many people advice. But let's see Jesus Christ as the solver of our problems. Let's see Jesus Christ as the solver. Because he is a personality. He is the keeper. He is the guardian. He is the custodian of all the sheep. Amen? When he talks about a door, he's not just a door standing there as a plank or a wood standing there dead. No, he's alive. The door is a live door. He's talking about a spiritual door. He is the keeper of everybody who goes through his name. Amen. Sometimes when you see the sheep, shepherds sometimes what they do is they will go around and take care of the sheep, and they, even they want to sleep, they can't sleep much because they'll nod for a while, and suddenly hear some sheep making some noise somewhere, and he'll turn around and look at that sheep. Just a crying of a sheep, a shepherd can just come out of his sleep and look at it around, what's happening to the sheep. Whether a wolf is coming or a snake is around, something is around, or a thief is coming around. What more of this door we are talking about? A door which sees everything, whether in light, in darkness, he sees through everything in our lives. Amen? Praise God. His personality is a sacrificial personality. It's not a personality that says, I am the Lord and I must come and bow down to me. He's a sacrificial. He was the one, first one, went up onto the cross for us. He's a sacrificial person. A personality. But he himself, the Lord himself, calls himself as the door. The fourth thing we can see about the door is suitability. He's suited to communicate for us between man and God. He's the most suitable person in the world. Generations can come by that can speak to God. There are many people who have said they've spoken to God, but he says, I come from God. Elijah, when he said he prayed to God, every prophet prayed to God. But you see, Jesus many times asserted and said to the Pharisees and said, I am from him. I am from my Father. And the word of God says very clearly, John chapter 1 itself says that he is word. He is the word at the time when God created the whole world. And he came out of the word. And from God he came as a offspring from God. And today we say that he is the person that will be able to. He's suitable. He's the only one. No one else can be. We can go up and say, I have the best degree in the world. I can have the best things in the world. I can be a righteous man in the world. But you cannot be the best suitable person to be a communicator between God and us, man. Only person who can connect, the conduit. Somebody used the other day the word conduit, you know. Conduit is supposed to be a connection from here to another place. A conduit, a place that which connects you to another place. That he is that person. Without him, we cannot have that connection with God. It's the most suitable person. Amen? Perpetuity. You can find in him perpetuity. In John 14:6. Let's turn to John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My message today will be a message of getting us back to God again. Getting us to where the basics are. Many of us forget the basics, but we go on to higher levels. But we forget the basics of God. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Praise God. For that perpetuity. He is always the way for anyone seeks his name. Anyone who seeks this door that he's talking about, the door, he is the door. Anyone that calls his name and comes to the door of him, he is a person who will show the way to their life. He is the way to the Father in heaven. No one else can come to him. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have committed you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. He says, I am with you till the ends of the age. Today, sometimes when you have problems, we have physical problems, we got emotional problems, any problems we have, that he is with us. We remember that. Amen? He's perpetual. He's not somebody who says, today I will be there with you, tomorrow I will not be there with you. When the storm comes, I'm run away. No, as a shepherd, when the storm comes, he'll still be with you. When the lightning comes, he'll still be with you. When there is a great earthquake, he'll still be with you. There are many of them who believe in Christ. And I know there are testimonies coming out now from Japan. Those who believers who will be saved. Those who believers who had the tsunami which came around, some of them were saved. Miraculously. The last tsunami came around here in Pattaya. I remember one sister from Putrajaya, two sisters were saved. They just said, in the name of Jesus, I freeze. The wave freezed. And they had time to run. By the time they ran, went to the hill. Amen. There were two sisters who were saved. They give testimonies and speak about the testimonies, what they went through. Everything was wiped out, but wiped out except for their pouch they had, their passport, and the money, little money they had. Everything else gone out. They only had a shorts and a t-shirt. That's how they came to Malaysia back again. Amen? So there are people who are being saved. You know, among all those earthquakes, what's happening there? There's something happening among the Christians. The Christians are rising up now. Amen? God is saving them. What He said is true. Whatever, whomever He loves, whoever calls upon His name, He will save them. Amen? He's saving many people every day. Now, we talked about a door. Now, let's talk about the users. Users of the door. Who are the users? He speaks in the same verse itself, verse 9. Who are the users? They're not just observers. They're not people who come to church and observe. They're not people who will try to see what is happening around the Christians. They're not people who will say, I have to knock all the time and knock, see whether Jesus can come and open the door. No. These are people who boldly can enter into the country. He says, the word says that those who enter, right? Verse 9, what does it say? John chapter, verse 9, what does it say? Verse 9. Hello? Are you with me? Am I speaking to you? I am the door. If anyone enters. So he is talking to the people who are willing to enter. You and I have entered today into the kingdom of God. You and I have taken the step and put inside and said, yes, I am the one who is coming in. So those people who are not people who are indecisive, or some of them who enter because of lip service, because they are pleasing somebody else, they enter into the kingdom through this door of Christ because they are convicted that this door can help. If you want to get married to somebody, you want to make sure. Today they talk a lot about this marriage with the royal wedding. I don't know how, I've not seen it. My son bought one paper and brought to my house, Papa, you know, royal wedding, you know. Just in case you didn't go out today and see this paper. I told him, no, it doesn't mean to me any much. The royal wedding is their wedding. It's not my wedding. My wedding, I'm waiting for the day when the Lord will come and say, it's your wedding. That's the big feast day. That's the feast day. Now, when you want to get married with somebody, you want to be assured that this person is somebody whom you like very much. Somebody you can trust very much. Somebody you say, yes, this is my husband or this is my going to be my wife. Why? Because you trust and you enter with confidence and boldness. How many of you got married, did not marry with boldness, with confidence? I believe every one of them who got married at that point of time, they were all confident that this is the right person and this is the right man or right woman that entered into that. Same way, the believers who enter into the door, this door, the door of Christ, Jesus Christ, the door, as you enter, you have faith in Him, you have belief in Him, you already not only believe and faith in Him, you trust Him more. Why is that many of us sometimes in our walk, in our journey, in our life, as a Christian, we waver? Why do we waver? Have we lost trust with Jesus? No. Inside you, you still believe, but the flesh is wavering. The mind, which was intoxicated with so many things that you read, sometimes we hear, sometimes we say, that intoxicates us. That is the one which causes us to waver. It's not the spiritual realm. The Lord Jesus Christ in the spirit is strong in you. Amen? He's strong in you. Believe that. When you took that bold step and went inside, as a child went inside, you know, you have got an infant right in front of you and somebody gave you an infant and he says, take care of this infant for me. You know how delicately you take care of the infant for this person? That's how Jesus is taking care of us. As He takes care of infant, He's taking care of us. Believe that Christ has never abandoned us. Amen? In any way, any form. But those people who come enter, just like you got married inside, you have boldness, you come and commune with the person. The person who comes into the door of Christ wants to have commune with the person. That is why, that is important for a husband and wife, and they get married. They must commune to each other. Same way, we have to commune with God, Jesus Himself. Second thing that you want the users do is that the users are not everybody. There are people who got raised. Certain race only can enter, the Hebrews only can enter, or the people who have got ranks, high ranking in the army or high ranking in the church, then only can enter into the kingdom of God. Or not the person who is very educated, know the theological word about God, he knows how to twist and turn the word of God, can use it from here to that side to this side. He's not looking for that kind of person. He's not a person that he's looking for who says, I am wealthy, I hold an office in the church. I'm a prophet. I'm an apostle. I'm whatever it is you call yourself, pastor. No. He says, any one of them. The word of God says, anyone who enters. So the qualification, the passport to enter into the kingdom of God is any one of us who have got the boldness. Anyone can enter into the spiritual realm of Christ Jesus. If you use him, Christ Jesus opens the door for you as a spiritual realm. You can enter into it. Gracefully you can enter into it. Anyone. It's not necessary that you must be holy, you know, sitting down to 24 hours praying. No. If you've got a heart for Christ, you've got a mind for Christ, you believe in what you believe, in what Christ spoke to you, you can enter into the kingdom of God anytime. Enter into the spiritual realm anytime, anywhere you want. Amen? That is the power of Christ. That is the power of Christ. The door he's talking about. The door is not a simple door. It might look very lowly, but an example he used today of himself. Who is he? That without a door, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. But anyone who can come in, there is no person who can say, I am the Lord. I am, you know, like today, I am the prince, and the lady is supposed to be the princess or whatever it is. I wouldn't know what she's called. But somehow or other, you're not by name, by what rank you hold, but because you belong to Christ. When you said yes, he takes care of you. Amen. The users are also no qualification to enter. There's no qualification. There's no such thing as you must be qualified in this place. But anyone can enter into the door. There is no qualification to enter. He is allowed anyone to enter inside the door. So through the door, and you can enter to him, and you can get the grace that you want from him, and the requirements that you want from him, and all those favors you want from him, you can get him. There is nothing that he's going to say that, no, you cannot come here because you don't have this prerequisite for that. Because some of them work up so many things. Some of us have got some kind of religiosity, and he says, no, it must go through this, must go through this, must go through this, only then you can see Christ. No, I don't believe that. Because Christ says, I am the door. Because why did he say he's a door? A simple door. Because there are many people who don't have to get onto all this religiosity and get into this God. He wants the heart, not religiosity. Many of us train so many things, you know. What did the Hebrews do? What did the Jewish people do at the time? They were trying to work themselves up. Work themselves up to enter into the kingdom of God. But here, no. Jesus says, I am the door. You just come in as you are. And I will take care of you. Amen? All you have to have faith in me. Trust me as you come inside. As much as we trust the doctors, we enter the doctor's room and he says, you take the number and you get wait for a while. A little while later, the doctor calls you. Ah, I'm going to enter now. I'm going to be healed. He's going to give me a medication that's going to heal me. The same faith you have, or greater faith you have, little faith you have in Christ, everything else will be done. Amen? Amen? The same faith you have in the doctors, you can also have on Christ, and much more will be done. Amen? For us. So that we don't have to work. If there is a door which is marked private, not everybody can enter. Is that right? Some people can enter. Some people cannot enter. Private. Only those who are invited into that door can enter. But Jesus said, he is the door. Amen. That's the beauty. He didn't say, I'm a private Sundaram Brahat for somebody else. Right? He said, for every one of us. And I pray today, what you receive today is the basics. But I pray that this will be used for the people around us today. Right? We'll use this to the people around us to bring forth many people into the kingdom of God. Now, the people, as you enter, I said just now, as you enter, James or Ang stands there and gives you a present. There must be something, a benefit for every one of us as you enter this door. What's the benefit? What's the present which is handed out by God? The privileges used for the users of this door, Jesus Christ, is number one, salvation. He shall be saved at once, forever, altogether. He shall be saved at once, forever, altogether. Let me read the passage again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Amen. Saved when? Immediately, forever, altogether. There is no barrier, there is no buts, there is no ifs. Number two. The privilege of a user of this door, Jesus Christ. He shall go in and out. By this expression, he says, he shall go in and out, means say, it's not a prison door. You're not entering through Christ as a prison. He is a God who is a liberator. You are free to go in and come out. When he says that, I don't hold you like a prison door, you come inside, this will not be a prison, but it will be a heaven. Amen? It will be a heaven, going in and coming out. That is liberty. Liberty is not something that is bought, but this liberty is given us. Anytime you can go in and come out. Liberty is because he has saved us from everything and he's taken out everything and everything we are bondaged in. The liberty is given to us because he rose from the dead. When Jesus Christ was bound with a lot of these herbs, they have got this myrrh and so many things they put inside and they wrap him up with a linen cloth. That linen cloth was broken away. Above all, his liberty he gave us is the rock that was holding us. The rock which is holding Jesus Christ to be dead inside the cave and the liberty outside was the rock. So Jesus Christ has removed the rock out of us. When you enter into the door of Christ, he removes the door that holds us as liberty. Holds us against liberty. Holds us like a prison. Jesus Christ has removed that. And he gives us that same liberty that he is speaking about. The same liberty he received from death he has given to us. The same liberty that he says that death cannot control you, death cannot overcome you, it's given to us. Amen. Amen. He also gives a privilege of shall go in and out. In. Go in for what? Why do you go into the kingdom of God? Why do you go into the presence through Christ every time? Why do you go into in? To go into get what? To go into be a pleading place. You can plead with him. You don't have to plead with anybody else. You plead with him. You can plead with him whatever you want. Secondly, he also is a hiding place for us. Some of us in our lifetime that we want to hide away from something. We want to hide away from the evil things around us. Sometimes we want to hide away. We want to find a hiding place. Many of us, we find that even I took a drive the other day to Monday, Tuesday, to go up to Pottingham. I thought it was a hiding place. The last time I went to Pottingham, the Lord showed me three different things. This time I went, I thought I'll get the same experience. But when I came back, I was a bit tired. I stopped, parked my car, and came out. I only got an accident. Not a word from God. God, I thought he'll speak to me through nature at the time. He didn't speak to me through nature, but he gave me an accident. He allowed the accident to happen. But the good thing about that, the man who hit me was able to understand about Jesus Christ now. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. In something, somebody is knowing about Christ. At least 3% has known about Christ that time. There is somebody whom I serve. Amen? So, God, sometimes we go around to hide and surround to see some kind of area that we want to take breathing time. But this is the place where you can find him. When you go into his time, into his hiding place, we can get that breathing time. He's also not only a breathing time place or a hiding place, he's also a fellowshipping place. He becomes... You can fellowship with him, can understand him. He can talk to you. Jesus Christ talk to you and you can talk to him back. Amen? Fellowshipping. And it's a time of instructions. Sometimes you need instructions. In my life, I need instructions from God every time. I need instructions what I should do, what should I do. So I have to ask God for every time. This is the place when I go into a hiding place and sit down and talk to him. And he gives me instructions what I should do. Amen? Wisdom of man, it fails. But wisdom of God remains and will always stand up. Amen? Sometimes it's an enjoyment you'll be out with God. When you're worshiping just now, what happened? There was a joy inside you, isn't it? What is the joy inside you? See, there is a difference within happiness. Happiness can come and go, you know. You're happy today because something you have achieved. You're happy tomorrow because you've got a baby, or got a child or something like that. But a joy is something that remains in your heart all the time. Whether it's good times or bad times, that's a joy that remains. It will never be shaken. Amen? That joy is very important. By going through this door, you get that joy of being liberated inside. Happiness can fade away today. Tomorrow it can be sad. But this joy inside your heart, this door, will never fade away. It's always inside you. It's a joy that you are born. Your joy that you have a child in your life. You have got a joy that you have got children in your life that you can bring them up. It's a joy to see them. It'll never fade away. You cannot take away your children's, the joy you have in your heart for your children. You'll never take away the children, the grandchildren you have in your heart. The joy of you becoming a grandparent. You cannot take it away. The joy will always remain inside you. Do you follow what I'm saying? You cannot take away. You've got a joy in your heart. I have a joy of my three sons. Whatever may they be, naughty or whatever it is, still I have a joy that I have these three boys. I'm looking forward for the time that I will have a grandchild. The joy, nobody can take it away. That's the same joy we have in liberty with Christ Jesus. That we can go in fellowship with Him. We can go into Him in a hiding place. We can go and see Him and die. The joy cannot be removed. Amen? You have access to Him at all times. Amen. He also is a nourishment place, a place of nourishment. This door is a nourishment. He promises nourishment for us. And find pasture. The Word of God says, and find pasture. He will be saved and he will go out, go in and out. Out, when he goes out, what does it happen? He goes out to do service. What he learned from God, he goes out to serve God. What he learned from the Lord, he speaks out to the Lord. Those people who've heard of me speak about a watchman's job. What is a watchman's job? A watchman is to watch and to see. And not only see, but he must be able to communicate. A watchman is supposed to communicate. When he goes out to see, when he says communicate, means he must be able to receive, relate to somebody else what you have seen. So we are all watchmen. When we go into the hiding place of Christ and to know what this Christ is talking to us, then we come and speak about it to outside people, to do service to people. We come outside, we go out, we get all the strength from Him. We go out, we serve people in many ways. Jesus Christ came as a server, not a person to be served. Amen. Amen. So let's become the servers and go out to serve and progress. Progress in the things that you do, in your life, in your ways, in your occupation, everything else. There must be a progress in life. Knowing Christ does not mean say you're retreating back. There's nobody in this world should say, because of I known Christ, my life is bad. Your life should always progress. A God is a God of promise. A God is a God who gives you progress. God is God who gives you life every day. Every day there must be progress. Amen? If you see a man or woman, so I've seen some of them, they glow, you know. I don't know whether you see what you mean by glow. Excuse me. They glow in their spiritual realm. You see them, you can see them. They just came out like so fresh. You can see they are glowing, like, you know, so fresh. Because their intimacy with God is so great. They were able to go inside, come outside to serve. When they serve with the glow, it's greater. Amen? There's a special joy when you serve with glow. Pasture. He says, you go in and out, you go and find pasture, you'll find pasture. Pasture is the nourishment for us. Amen. When he talks about a sheep, needs nourishment. So Jesus is the door which gives you the nourishment. The door that we look for nourishment is Jesus Christ. Not through other works of, you know, motivation. Not through works of, you know, for a while they'll come and motivate you. Little while I was a motivator, I know that for sure. Because every time I said, when are they going to invite me for motivation again, I get money. Right? So you wait for another time, then another time you get an opportunity. When are you going to motivate them? You get some money. But that motivation only lasts for a while. Some of them, the motivation is only while you are inside here. When you go outside, it goes off, zaps off. Some of the motivation can take you for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 7 days. After that, it's gone off. You go back to your old ways. Motivation will never remain in you. But the nourishment Jesus Christ gives you will be the one will remain in us. Amen. The door that he's talking about is the door of nourishment of Christ Jesus. That he'll give it to us every day and out. It is found. Our spiritual food is found through Christ, in Christ, and around Christ. Amen? We always can find through him, in him, and around him. So let's enter a door that is easy to access. It's not a door that is very difficult to access. It's no such thing as, no, I must put my heart trying to concentrate. No, no, let's be easy. About God. We shall not have any to climb over something and then come down. I've known that sometimes I've lost my key in my gate. I have to go up and come down on my gate key and then come down and go and get knock the door to get my key out. This is nothing got to do with that. No walls, no fence you have to go up. This is a straight door God is giving to us. Amen. There is no other kind of privileges given to any other man except for this true door. Let us enter a door. It is for the sheep. Why for the sheep? The sheep has got no wisdom. Let's enter the door without wisdom. Let's enter to get that wisdom from God Himself. Let's enter this door that the wisdom is waiting for us. So the wisdom that we have. Why did we have sheep? The sheep is because it doesn't have wisdom. It's got to wait for a master. Sheep does not move without the master's whistle. Sheep does not go out without a master's command. Unless the sheep gate is open, only then the sheep will go out. Otherwise, it's inside. It knows how to come back to its flock back again. It knows how to come back to its pen again. That's a sheep. Sheep has no wisdom of their own. They are unthinking of mind. Why does Jesus Christ use simple things like symbols like a door and a sheep? A sheep does not have a mind of its own. It has got a mind of the master of his. Amen? So we are sheep. Let's enter the door with the mind of Christ, not with the mind of our own. When we have our own mind and our own flesh works, it doesn't work. Amen? Let's enter the door, which is Jesus Christ. We do not fear him because we don't have to fear him. Because he's so meek and so lowly. How can lowly a man can be to call himself as the door for us? It's written in the scriptures. There can be many other people who can say that he is so and so, so and so, so and so. But this God of ours was willing to become the door for us. He calls himself a simple door that puts the sheep around. And the sheep he calls all of us today. And I pray today the same saving grace that went through us, all of us, that Jesus Christ was able to do for us in the time when he rose on the third day will be upon our lives. Let's remember that the reason Christ is no longer in the tomb. Let's remember the reason Christ is with us. Let's remember there is hope with the risen Christ. There is hope. In the time of when Mary Magdalene and all of the sisters went up there and they see the things was happening around that, they listened to the angels, listening to it. There was hope. When they listened to the angels and said, oh, what happened to the time? Let's read Mark. Mark chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll them? Let's go down to the passage where it's verse 6. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified is now risen. Amen. They were alarmed. They were confused at the time. But when the angel of God spoke to him and said, he is risen, there was hope. There is hope. He didn't say, we have taken him out and placed him in another tomb. He didn't say that I've taken him out and brought him to heaven as a corpse. He said, he has risen from that. Amen. So there was confusion. The confusion mind should not be with us as the reason those people went to the door. Because we should have a mind which is solid with Christ and say, yes, he's risen. He lives with us. So there is hope for us today. For his hope, whatever situation may be, in our family, our country, in our nation, for the world, wherever this, whatever is going to happen in the world, there is hope for us. Amen. The hope is only spoken by, like, the hope will be rekindled day by day. When you remember that this Mary went up there and all of them, the women went up there, they were confused when their tomb was empty. A tomb was empty for nothing. It's not that the body was thrown and somewhere else or thrown, taken out and buried somewhere else, but it is risen. Amen. I like this verse when C.S. Lewis, I know some of you read C.S. Lewis, is a great author and a great pastor. Jesus has forced open a door that had been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. Amen. I like this caption because he says, this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has fought, and everything he has fought, everything the death has prevailed is all the while. Now, no longer it can prevail us. Amen. There is hope for us. And there is courage for us. Knowing that Christ, the door, is courage for us. Why is courage? Because he's risen. The tomb is empty and tomb is already rolled out, the stone which is right in front of him, and he's given us liberty today. That is courage. Because, you know what, the sense of the four people, we can sit down and say, yes, I have courage today. We can relax now and say, yes, anything happens in this world. Earthquake can happen right beside me, and I know I can rest in my Lord. I can fold my arms and sit down and say, I can rest in my Lord. I don't do a little thing because I have the courage. Courage in Christ Jesus. Amen. You don't have to do something to be doing something that, you know, you'll do something that will please God, or you'll do something that will save you. No. God's saving grace is always there with us. Not only the spiritual saving grace, physical saving grace is there. Amen. 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 There is courage for us. In death, for Christ, in death, he came alive. There is always hope for us. Amen. And we have faith in him that who beat up this death, we have faith for it. We have hope in him and faith in him. Amen. So I pray today, brothers and sisters, that as we are here today, we pray today that God is in our life will show us he is the door. A door that is not, who's come here not to be served. A door that serves us every day in our life. A door that serves us as a security for us. A door that holds in our lives. The door that prevents things from coming into our house. The door that keeps our heart from coming, our heart being open to the works of the evil every day. Or our mind. We need a door to the mind because our mind is wandering sometimes. Our mind is always captivated by things in the world. Our mind is always captivated by things that we want to lust for. So he is the door. Let's enter the door to our mind. Let's enter our door to our heart. Because that this door can save us, can keep us, and always give us hope. When our door is locked and our door is ready and it's locked, secure, you know you can rest in peace at home. Not rest in peace in the graveyard, but rest with rest with a good sleep that night, okay? Every time they say rest in peace in graveyard, I don't think anybody in the graveyard is resting in peace. The best is the person who snores very well and sleeps very well. Even the thief comes and goes, he doesn't know. That's the best person. Right? So you must be able to have that kind of sleep in the house where you don't worry about anything. And he says, even the thief comes, I know, Lord, you'll chase them out. Amen? Because angel of God is always with us. Amen? Glory to God. So we are secure in him, the door. So let's pray that the law will always remain us and we'll always keep our heart open for this door and our mind open this door. What we receive for the first time, let's not forsake it. Let's not events in our life shake us. Let's not the events or the things that comes around us that shake us, our faith in him. And we will always remember that even tsunami can come or whirlwind can come, nothing can stop us from this door. Amen? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we rest everything in your hands. Lord, you are the door. You are the simple door. You are the saving door. You are the secure door for us. Lord, help us, Lord, that we'll always remember that you are the one who is with us. Lord, you didn't say it's many doors, but you said the door. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you are the door and no other doors. We will not keep any other doors in our life except for you, Lord Jesus. If there is any other door in us, Lord, remove it from us in Jesus' name. Amen.